All right. So if you can go into your Bibles, please, to the two places, to the book of Psalms, and we'll be back in Psalm 119, just like we were for our scripture reading. But also, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Daniel in chapter 6. So Psalm 119, put a bookmark there, and we'll head to Daniel chapter 6 first. So Psalm 119, and then Daniel chapter 6. All right, we'll just read a few verses here in Daniel 6, and then we'll read a few verses in Psalm 119. But Daniel 6, let's just look at verse 3. Bible says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Verse number 5, "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." And let's go down to verse number 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." Now let's go over to Psalm 119. So keep a bookmark there in Daniel 6. Let's go to Psalm 119. We'll read the first 3 verses of Psalm 119. Bible says here, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways." Heavenly Father, we once again just want to say thank you for this time we're able to open your word. I pray you guide and direct in the message. And Lord, that would be a help, a blessing, an encouragement, and even a challenge to those that are here. I pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, before we get back to Daniel chapter 6, let's look at a few. I want to define a couple of words for us this evening, and we'll get to another one here a little bit later. But in Psalm 119, verse 1 and in verse 2, it starts out with the same word, and that word is blessed. Blessed. The dictionary, the Webster's 28 dictionary, puts it as happy. In this case, happy, prosperous, enjoying spiritual happiness and favor with God. I like that last part, enjoying spiritual happiness and favor with God. Blessed are the next word I want us to take a look at is undefiled. Blessed are the undefiled. Undefiled simply means not polluted, or if we want to get really deep with it, it just simply means not defiled. Deep right there, huh? But the word undefiled comes with a connotation of that it's undefiled. Whatever is undefiled is completely, obviously, if it's undefiled, it's not defiled or tainted in the slightest bit. Undefiled, entire, complete, without blemish, full, perfect. That's, again, referencing complete. Sound, without spot, upright. Another word that would go along with that, when I was looking this up, would be the word integrity. That word integrity. I was thinking back to when Pastor was talking to us about the Family Life series, and he talked about being children or men of God, women of God, children of God of integrity. And he brought out a math term, and we all love math at 7:30 at night. And that term was that of an integer. An integer is a math class. It is a whole number. So it's not a fraction. It's the whole number. So that undefiled has that connotation of obviously the entirety. It's integrity, it's without blemish, spot, it's perfect, it's upright, and it's completely, it's wholly in that way. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Now, I wanted us to, we'll get back to Psalm 19. Let's look at Daniel chapter 6 really quick. We'll get back to Psalm 19. I want to look at Daniel for just a brief moment here, and then I want to give you a few points, and then we'll call it a night. But in Daniel chapter number 6, we have here, I believe, a very familiar passage of Scripture. In fact, this is setting up to the point where Daniel gets cast into the lion's den. If you remember, at this time, Darius has come, and he's now placed as king, and he's set presidents over his kingdom, the first of which, preferred above all, was Daniel. Daniel was a man with an excellent spirit, and the king sought to set him over the entire realm of his kingdom because of the spirit that he had. There was something different about Daniel, and we know that he had already purposed. He had committed to following God. We read that in Daniel chapter 1, that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. I realize it's talking about the king's meat, but there's that word there, not to defile himself. He was going to stay clean, if you will, before God. He was going to wholly follow his God. And we have in verse 4 that these presidents and these princes, they were kind of jealous. They were a little envious of Daniel that he was getting the bulk of the honor, if you will, and they wanted to find an occasion against him. They wanted to find something that they could, that would cause him to be maybe despised or even looked down upon in King Darius' eyes. But the Bible says that they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Faithful in what? Well, he was faithful to his God. He was faithful in his dealings with men. He was faithful in his walk with God, amongst other things. But in the Bible clearly says that neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now remember what undefiled is. It's without spot. Now, I'm not saying that Daniel was a perfect individual. He didn't do anything wrong. He is human. But in those areas that these men were looking at Daniel, they couldn't find anything that they could throw at him that would stick. So there is nothing that we can find on this guy. Nothing wrong, nothing foul, nothing that's out of order. They could not find any occasion of wrongdoing in him. If I could say this way, Daniel would be considered that undefiled in the way. We're going to talk about who the undefiled in the way are. And then I wanted to look down at, I had us read verse number 10. Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I want you to keep these things in mind about Daniel. He was a man who spent time with God. And he knew that this writing was in place. He knew that the decree where those presidents and princes, they had convinced King Darius to write up a law that says, hey, for the next 30 days, nobody can pray to anybody else but you. Now, for King Darius, he's like, yeah, that sounds like a great law. Let's put that into play. Give me that. They couldn't get the pen fast enough. He couldn't seal that thing fast enough. But Daniel, even though he knew that the decree had been signed, the writing was there, it was the law cannot change. That was one of the things in that day, that the law cannot change. It didn't matter who it was. Once it was sealed and set into place, those next 30 days, everybody was to pray to King Darius. But Daniel knew, even when the writing was signed, he was committed to following God. He was faithful in his service to God. He was faithful in his worship to God. He spent time with God. I believe he sought God wholly, wholly. And then I believe he walked in God's ways, in God's law. Because remember, the very first of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt have no other God before me. And what was this decree doing? This decree was ultimately setting King Darius above everybody, including God. Daniel understood he was not going to defile himself by capitulating, by surrendering to this law, but he was going to stay holy and committed to following God. He was a man of integrity. He was faithful, if I could put it this way, again, undefiled. Let's go back to Psalm 119. I just wanted to put that in there by way of introduction. But the Bible says in Psalm 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way. First thing, who walk in the law of the Lord. Folks, we can be blessed. Who is the blessed? Those that have found favor or have the favor of God on them, prosperous and enjoying happiness, those are the undefiled. They are the ones who walk in the law of the Lord. And if we were to sum up the law of God, we could look at Matthew chapter 22, and I would encourage you to turn quickly over there. Matthew chapter 22. Sum up the law in just what Jesus himself said when he was asked what the greatest commandment is. Matthew chapter 22, in verse number 36. And actually, we'll back up verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Verse 39, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus summed it up, love God. Love God with everything that he has given to you. He has given each of us all the abilities that we have, all the talents that we have, or the lack thereof, whatever. He has given us everything that we have. We ought to use those things and those abilities, those talents to worship him, to magnify his name in the eyes of one another, but also in the eyes of this world. And magnify just simply means to make clear. Make God big. He's already big, but let's put it this way. Make him bigger, all right? He deserves our worship. We ought to love him with all that he has given to us. And summed up again in that next verse, the second command is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we can't properly love our neighbor as ourselves, then we can't properly love God. I believe the barometer or the measuring stick on our love for God is our love for our neighbor. Who is blessed? One who walks in the law of the Lord. Love God, love his neighbors. In that walk, the application there, or it implies that there is action. And normally when we're walking, we're moving forward. So walking in the law of the Lord, that's moving forward, that's advancing, that's, we can put it this way, it's obedience. Walking in the law of the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled who in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. So remember what Psalm 19, verse 7 says about the testimonies of the Lord. The testimonies of the Lord are sure. Psalm 19, verse 7. A testimony is a witness. What God says is truth. What he says is truth. And it's not only just truth, but it's absolute truth. And blessed are they that keep his testimonies. That word keep has that thought of holding on tight, holding dear to it. Hopi, when she runs around the house, she has this pink blanket. And if she doesn't have it with her, if it's not in one hand dragging behind her on the floor, she just says, blankie, blankie. Well, where did you last have it? Because more often than not, she is holding fast onto that. And you take it from her, better watch out. All right, let's ask Charlotte. But no, she holds fast. She doesn't let that thing go. And then she has this look about her, and I don't know if she has her blanket. She might have her blanket downstairs in the nursery. If she doesn't, sorry, nursery workers, God bless you. But she just has that look about her where it's, yep, she's, what we say at home, she's in her happy place. All right, she's holding that blankie fast. Well, how are we with God's word? When we are in God's word? Is it our delight? Do we call it, for lack of a better term, a happy place? But that word keep doesn't just mean to hold fast. It also has the definition of to practice, to do or perform, to obey, to observe and practice. One who is blessed are the undefiled. They're ones who walk in the law of the Lord, who keep his testimonies. But also they are ones who seek the Lord with the whole heart. Remember that word integer that we mentioned earlier, whole? I know Pastor used this definition or used this illustration the other day, but think about it again. My wife, she has my heart. She has all of my heart. But what if one day I said, hey, you're only going to get 75% of it. I'm going to give a quarter of it to that girl over there. Yeah, that doesn't work out so well. I had an opportunity to say this or to preach this in a high school chapel just recently. One of the kids said, you ain't going home. I was like, yeah, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. But how is our heart with God? Do we seek God with everything? Does he have all of our heart? Or is there a sliver or a quarter or a portion of our heart that we say, God, I think 75% is good. That's right. That's good enough for you. But I'm going to put the other 25 over here. How about it this way? Picture our heart as a house. You open up that front door. You walk into the entryway, and then there's rooms. You walk in the entryway, and you get to a hallway, and there's rooms. And there are doors on those rooms. Is God allowed into all of those areas of your heart, if I can put it that way? Or is there a portion of your heart that is locked, that you don't want God to have a part of? Does he have our heart? Are we seeking him with the whole heart? 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 11, in David's Psalm of Thanksgiving, he says this, seek his face continually. In the Psalm that correlates with that, it says, seek his face forevermore. Forever, that's a pretty long time. And continually means keep seeking, keep searching, keep wanting to spend time with him. If I could put it this way, our attitude ought to be this. God, I want you. God, I want you in everything, in every part of me. My will is yours. My thoughts are yours. My body is yours. And really they are. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 6 or 2 Corinthians 6 where it talks about that our bodies are not ours. We're bought with a price. They belong to God's. They belong to God. But our attitude ought to be, God, I want you to have all of me. And if we can't honestly say that, then there's a problem. And the problem is not with God. The problem is with me, and it's with my heart. I'm not seeking him continually, not seeking him with the whole heart. And what does seeking him with the whole heart even look like? Well, it just simply means spending time with him. Look at Psalm 119, verse 2. Again, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Verse number 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I've mentioned this before, that our devotions, our personal time with God needs to be a pursuit of God, a pursuit of holiness, a pursuit of what God expects. And you know, it ought to be lifelong. It ought to be a commitment. God, I want you. Seeking him with the whole heart means they're spending time with him. But then in that spending time with him, it also means there's got to be a dealing with sin. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. There's a dealing with sin. Because what can God not associate himself with? With sin. He is a perfect and a holy God. His son Jesus was on the cross, and he turned his back on his only begotten son because our sin was on him. God cannot associate with sin. So if there's sin in our lives that need that especially if it's known sin, it needs to be confessed. And then when you think you're done confessing, Lord God, is there anything else? Am I clean? But if there's a dealing with sin, but then when we seek God with the whole heart, there's an expectation. And that expectation is that we're fully expecting him to show up when we meet with him. That's faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seek his face continually. Seek his face forevermore, because otherwise it's unbelief. If we're not expecting God, if we go into our prayer time, we go into our prayer closet, and it's, well, Lord, I hope you can. I know you can, but I hope that you'll answer this. Or do you go into your prayer closet in faith? Because guess what? That's what God rewards. He rewards faith. So when we seek him with the whole heart, there's that there's the attitude of God, I want you. Spending time with him, dealing with sin, then an expectation that he will show up, if you will. But again, that's those who are blessed, who have favor with God. They walk in his law. They keep his testimonies. They seek him with the whole heart. Then they also walk in his ways. And what do we know about God's ways? They're perfect. Psalm 18, verse 30. Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. As for God, his way is perfect. He's perfect in timing, a.k.a. I think of Abraham and Isaac there on the mount. The knife is above Isaac, and there's a voice from heaven that says, hey, stop. But he's perfect in timing. That's just one instance there. He's perfect in judgment. He says in Romans chapter 12, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. He is perfect in timing. He is perfect in judgment. His ways are righteous and not wicked. Isaiah 55, 7 through 10. You can write that down. You can look that up again later. You can look that up later, but we remember that his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts higher than our thoughts, and his ways are righteous, not wicked. And one thing, and I thank God for, that his ways are not what my ways would be. Because if I was left in charge, things would probably be a little bit different. But that's because of what I think, what I would want. Brother Pritchett ain't perfect. He doesn't even speak perfect. He doesn't even use grammar. He doesn't use the English language correctly and properly. And he says ain't sometimes. I mean, I'm not perfect. So praise God. His ways are perfect. They're righteous, not wicked, and they're not mine. They're his. And you know, sometimes his ways just don't simply make sense. I don't know, have you ever come across that? Where it's, wait, I'm supposed to do what? Wait for who? Come again? Lord, are you sure about that? Often his ways don't make sense. But the last time I checked, there's still a verse that says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I realize that has a double meaning there. Wait could be patient, just waiting, but also could mean serving too. So perhaps when we wait on the Lord, we're worshiping him in our service and we're waiting patiently on him. We're depending on him. Just a extra note there. That wasn't even in my notes here. But often his ways don't make sense. Praise God, his ways are perfect. But one who is blessed is who walks in the law, who keeps his testimonies, who seeks him with the whole heart, who walks in his ways. So good news, we can be blessed. But then that means there's probably some bad news. we can be defiled. If someone is blessed and enjoying God's favor, happy, joyful, undefiled, that means one can experience guilt, shame, and a lack of happiness. It means be defiled. And what is defile? That means to make profane, polluted, impure, unclean, to render foul or dirty. Let's look at Psalm 119 again. Let's look at those first few verses and let's just reverse this. So blessed are the undefiled who walk in the way, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Let's reverse that. What if you don't walk in the way of the Lord? What is that? Disobedience. If you're not keeping the Lord's testimonies, which are true, it's unbelief. If you're not seeking the Lord with the whole heart, it's negligence. That's neglecting to spend time with your Heavenly Father. What's not walking in the Lord's ways? It's rebellion. And that sin should bring shame. Sin steals and robs us of our joy. Has that been you? I know it's been me. So what specifically defiles us? Go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, hold your place in Psalm 119. We'll be back there in just a moment. Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. What specifically defiles an individual? If you remember in this context here, the disciples, they were eating with unwashed hands, and so the Pharisees and others were coming after them. Hey, you're defiling yourself by eating food with unwashed hands. Well, Jesus politely says, no, he speaks up and says, it's not what man puts in his mouth that he eats, but it's what's in his heart that comes out. So verse 10, and he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Let's move down to verse number 16, or verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Comes forth from the heart. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things that which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Let me ask you, have you ever had an evil thought towards someone else? Evil implying that there's a desire to harm, whether physically, mentally, or emotionally. Have you ever had an evil thought? And it can go beyond that as well, but have you ever had a thought towards someone that wasn't a very kind thought? Have you ever had the thought to destroy? Yeah, because we all want to destroy something. Hopefully you don't have that thought to kill and murder somebody. But the Bible says in verse 3, verse 15, that you hate your brother without a cause, the same as murder. Have you ever hated somebody? Immoral, impure thoughts. We are to be holy as God is holy. 1 Peter chapter 3, ever lied? Last time I checked, the Bible says all liars. Spoken evil of God or even evil of someone else. Those things that have come out of the mouth. But it didn't just start here. It started here. Which means the heart is defiled. The heart has been tainted. The heart is polluted. And if we've committed any or all of these, how did we feel after committing those transgressions? Hopefully there was a guilt and there was a shame that followed. Because sinning against God brings shame and ought to bring, for a Christian, Holy Spirit conviction. But understand and know that we're not alone in this. The psalmist himself understood this very same principle of being undefiled versus being defiled. Back in Psalm 119, we'll be done here in just a moment. He says this in verse 3, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. It says, thou, God, hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Remember, there's a command there. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. I believe that implies that his ways weren't always the ways of God. And if the psalmist here is David, well, we know that some of his ways didn't line up with what God expected and would have him do. But he understood that he commanded, but I didn't follow. God has commanded us to do. Do we always follow? Do we always obey? Or do we say, no, God, I'm willing to obey you in everything except for that over there. I'm willing to help everybody and everybody except for that person over there. He said, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I respect unto all thy commandments. So he realized that with the sin and with not having his way, not walking in the law of the Lord, not obeying and being in disobedience, brought shame. It caused him to be ashamed. His disobedience came as a result of lacking to diligently keep the Lord's commands, his precepts. His ways were not constantly directed to keep the Lord's statutes or ordinances, which, frankly, that's me. That's me. And he experienced the shame that came from failing to respect, regard, fear the Lord's commandments. The psalmist was not alone. We're not alone. The psalmist knows. The psalmist understood that. And I hope that we understand that we now have a choice. If I asked everyone, if I asked by raising of hands, hey, who wants to be blessed in here? My guess is that every hand would go up. And probably both arms, both hands. If I ask, hey, who wants to be defiled in here? Yeah, exactly. Hopefully it'd be crickets. But understand, if we are defiled, we don't have to stay that way. We can if we choose to. Proverbs chapter 28 tells us that a man that covereth his sin shall not prosper. So you have a choice. If you're defiled, if you've disobeyed, if you've failed God, or you can come and confess your sin. Again, Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. 1 John 1, 9. We confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. We can confess our sin and be cleansed. So we can either cover what has defiled us, but understand it comes at a price, or we confess our sin and be cleansed. So, you want to live that undefiled life? What does that look like? It simply looks like this. We would wholly seek God and not wander from his word. Verse 10 of Psalm 119, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. It'll look like a heart that is hiding God's word in it, so that truth proceeds from the heart and it comes out through the mouth. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. May I encourage us, scripture memory? I know it's not always the easiest thing to do, but having a verse of scripture, having some passage with us that when a temptation comes or when a trial or difficulty or some type of struggle comes in our lives, we can just bring that to memory. We can just go through here's one. Go through the old Rolodex. All right. We can spin through that thing. Oh yeah. Thy word have I hid in my heart. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remind ourselves of the great promises that are found in God's word. So the life of the undefiled or the cleansed results in a holy seeking after God, a hiding word in his heart, a continual praising the Lord. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. And then there's a constant desire to keep his statutes. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. So let me ask you this. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk. How's our walk today? How's your walk today? Have you experienced God's blessing and favor? And I hope and pray that you have. Are you continually experiencing God's favor and blessing on your life? Or is it non-existent? It doesn't have to be. It does not have to be. Because the Bible clearly tells us here, we can be. And it shows us how. But again, if that favor of God, that blessing of God in your life isn't there, the problem isn't God. Self-examine yourself according to his word. And if you're struggling in your walk with the Lord, again, you don't have to. Should you choose to draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Heard an evangelist once say, if you can live without God, you will. If you can live without God, you will. But if you can't live without God, you don't have to. James 4, again, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You want to live an undefiled, blessed life? Walking in, how does that happen? Well, walk in and according to God's word and in his ways. And if I can encourage you, make it a commitment. Make it a commitment that I'm going to walk in the law of the Lord, loving God, loving others. I'm going to keep his testimonies. Obedience there is implied, holding on to it tight, but also obedience. I'm going to seek him with the whole heart. God, I want you, ought to be our attitude. And then walk in his ways. His ways are always perfect. They're always right. We can trust him. Make it a commitment to wholly follow God. That's living undefiled in the way. Heavenly